Pastor and author Tim Keller, he speaks of a phenomenon in the church today called the mushy middle. He defines the mushy middle as those who would say, "Of course I'm a Christian, but it just doesn't mean that much to them." They are members of the church that go sometimes, maybe even often, but they really aren't that vital. In many cases, they are just nominal Christians, meaning in name only, because it is just a cultural thing to do or because their family is Christian, but they have no real faith. The mushy middle. And the point is that there are people who claim to be Christians, but they only do the very minimal things that identifies themselves with other Christians. They just aren't growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a problem. And such are the mushy middle. For when faith is real, our actions demonstrate the reality of our faith. Our lives become wholesome and vibrant in our growth before the Lord. A faithful Christian is not stagnant, a dead tree in the desert. Rather, like the psalmist says in Psalm 1, he or she is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. The Apostle Peter finishes up this letter here, 2 Peter, with reminders, and he reminds us repeatedly through the letter. And here he remains consistent with that. He reminds us of what he's been writing about. Considering the things that he's been saying up to this point in his letter, he calls for Christians to, one, be diligent, two, stable, and three, to grow as disciples of Christ. And such vibrancy of life, is a gift from the Lord. It's His gift to us, and we receive it from Him by faith. So let's look at these final words here of the apostle, that we might be reminded, come to a better understanding, and be urged along the path of righteousness as we follow our Lord. Take a look again at verse 14. "Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by Him without spot or blemish and at peace." As we read this, he refers to these. Well, what is the these that he's referring to? Well, you got to go back to the verse right before that, in verse 13. Peter writes, "But according to His," in other words, the Lord's promise, "we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Out of the ashes of judgment, the Lord, in His coming, will bring forth the new heavens and the new earth, refined and perfect. And there His people, who are the righteous, will live for eternity. And as our righteousness comes from the Lord, we are now called to be diligent and live according to that righteousness which is bestowed upon us, that He paid for at the cost of His blood on the cross." Peter says that we are to be without spot or blemish. And this harkens back to the Old Testament requirements for sacrifice. As, Leviticus talks about that. When you bring a lamb, it should be without spot or blemish. And that was the requirement for a sacrifice for the Lord. And so this phrase reminds us of what the Apostle Paul told us in Romans 12, 1 and 2. He wrote, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. As we live for the Lord. If you are a Christian, you must understand we do not live for ourselves. We live for the Lord as living sacrifices, and we are to be without spot and without blemish, so that in our living, each moment of each day becomes worship of our Lord God as we live. Sure, we sin. We sin. Yet as God's people, we are forgiven. We repent, we're forgiven. We know it. God promised it. It's true. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. And yet remember, our righteousness as we live for God, even doing the most righteous work that we can do, that does not merit our salvation. The Lord did the work on the cross, and His righteousness is given to us, and so we become the righteousness of God. Romans 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those of us who know the Lord, who love the Lord, who trust in Him. The Lord took that wrath upon Him that we deserve on the cross. And so, as a forgiven people, we are to be diligent. We are to be attentive to our task, deliberate in each step we take along that path as we follow our Lord. And we are to strive to ensure that our actions are consistent with who we are in Christ Jesus. And this includes our witness and obedience to Christ. Our words are to express the truth of the gospel and the word. As we interact with people, not only our words, but our actions are to be a consistent witness for the Lord as to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is in such a way that we fulfill that great commission that the Lord gave us in Matthew 28:19-20. Making disciples, teaching them the Lord's command. Such obedience in life, witness, and word is completely counter to the false teachers, which we've spent so much time over the past few weeks looking at in 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter refers to them there in chapter 2 as spots and blemishes. And being such, and you know, see the comparison between spots and blemishes. He says we're not to be spots and blemishes. Being such, unless they repent in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, their lives, their witness, and their word, well, these are not holy and acceptable before God. They contend against God. They're at odds with God. And that is how the Lord will find them. And so they're doomed. Not so the faithful, diligent believer in Christ. True believers follow the Lord's call to action. True believers have a vigorous life of obedience. And we grow day by day in our knowledge and in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as believers, we find peace with God. Not that we made the peace, of course. We could never make peace with God in our own actions. Jesus Christ made the peace. And He made the peace on the cross. And now we who believe live within that peace. And so since the Lord is coming, we must be diligent. Diligent as His disciples. Look at verses 15 through 17. And count the patience of the Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. And we discussed last week how the Lord delays His coming so that the full complement of the elect can be brought into the fold. His patience is salvation. His patience is salvation. Think of this. To all who would believe, generation after generation, as He delays, more and more people come to believe. And so they find salvation in the Lord Jesus. And Peter mentions that this teaching is consistent with the writers of Paul, or the writings of Paul. And verse 15, 16. Yeah, this is actually an interesting proof verse that a lot of people point to show that the apostles understood that each other's writings were Scripture. Because here, Peter identifies Paul's writings as being Scripture. In other words, the Word of God. Because he was a recognized apostle of the Lord. And it is the Lord's immutable Word that we find our stability, grounded in God's Word. We who believe understand that the Lord's delay means that we're to be busy. We're to be busy people as God's chosen and blessed people. We have a task, and that is to do the Lord's will in this life. And part of that task is to proclaim the gospel to those in the world around us. As we wait on the Lord to come again, it is our calling. As Christians, it is the Lord's command that His people, His disciples, and if you're a Christian, you're a disciple, His command that we tell about Him, that we proclaim His Word, and not just us ministers up here in the pulpit, but each and every single one of you, even you little folks, in school, at work, wherever you may find yourself, in your life and in your witness, and your Word. You are to be sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are to be that light and that salt in the world. This is not a living shut up away from everybody. This is interacting with the world. It is not going into a commune. It is interacting with the world everywhere you are. And this is what we are called to do. The Lord can return any time. And we have a task to do until that comes. It is by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that gospel that we proclaim, that the Lord brings those who believe into the fold. We are to be diligent in this proclamation. We are to be consistent. And we need to even be urgent about it. Peter reminds us, too, that the false teachers will twist the teachings of the apostles as they do the teachings in the Old Testament. They twist them to say what they want them to say for their own benefit. And it's by such twisted methods that false teachers then lead those who are ignorant or unstable, who are not grounded in the Word of God. This is why you must know God's Word, so you will not be ignorant and unstable. The false teachers are out there, and they will lead folks who are not grounded down a false path of destruction. And yet we are forewarned. I'm up here proclaiming the Word, so you, particularly as a congregation, are forewarned. We can recognize false teachers by their teachings and by their actions. God's Word helps us to know how to do this. We looked at that for about a month. If you weren't here, go back, read chapter 2 of 2 Peter, and that will help you see what their teachings are like and what their actions were like. For us Christians, the signs of a false teacher should jump out at us, like if we were traveling along the road in Iraq and we saw a little pile of freshly disturbed dirt, or maybe a little pile of rocks or something, and some little wires going away from that into a house that was nearby. False teachers, we should see them coming just like we'd see something like that. Our hackles need to be going up. We need to go, stop! Danger! This is how we need to be looking out for them. It is serious. It is a true danger that we must look out for. And the danger is like this. False teachers would lead us into a position that would contend with God. It's a position of lawlessness. And for example, and I've given you several examples of different kinds, but this particular example, a consistent with passage, would be one that to tell you that you are saved by grace and your sins are washed away. I tell you that. That's true. However, where's the caveat? Well, because of this, now you can sin all you want, and it's all good. False teacher will tell you that. And the more you sin too, guess what? God's grace abounds because He forgives you more. And so, guess what? You get more and more grace the more you sin. False teacher will tell you that. Why bother with all that obedience stuff? It's not necessary. Jesus paid your fire insurance bill. You're good. Now live however you want. Now Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote the book Cost of Discipleship. I've passed out numerous copies, maybe to some of you. But in his first chapter there, he talks about something called cheap grace. And he writes concerning it, grace alone does everything, they say. And so everything can remain as it was before. What lies. To take a truth and twist it in such a way to be nothing but pure lies, lawlessness, counter to what God's very word says. Paul also counters such arguments as God's word, Romans 6. Are we to continue in sin that grace may be abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? The forewarned Christian who knows God's word, who walks in the Spirit, can discern the lie of the world. We live alert and ready, looking out for that danger. And we heed Peter's warning, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. As there is a warning, there is a danger. We can be led down false paths if we are not careful. It is down those false paths that we find ourselves in quicksand, sinking into sin. But the Lord, and so the path upon which He leads us, is solid and stable and true. Psalm 62, of which we read earlier. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock. And my salvation, He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. The Lord is our rock and our salvation. And it is in Him that we find our stability, rooted and grounded in God's Word, obedient, growing in grace and knowledge of Him, at rest in Him, and so at peace. Because Jesus is coming We must be stable as His disciples. Look at verse 18. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And this should be a familiar verse to you if you've been here over the last month and a half, because every Sunday this has been your benediction as you have left this chapel. Peter, in the last words here of his epistle, calls us to thrive in Christ. We are to grow as Christians and not remain spiritual babies. And it's by His grace that we are saved. And grace leads us to faith. And this leads to actions of faith. And this leads to even more grace. And so on. You can see this is kind of a cycle. Because even more grace, and your faith is strengthened, and your actions, and more grace as the Spirit works in you. And so you become to abound in grace. But with that grace is obedience. And by the Lord's grace and our relationship to Him, we come to know Him. His Word reveals Himself to us. Not some imaginary picture. Not some limited vision. It's not a made-up Jesus. God's Word reveals to us who Jesus is. From Genesis to Revelation. Yet our knowledge of Christ by God's grace goes so far beyond just knowing about Him. The Spirit of God indwells us, His people. And so the Lord reveals Himself to us in an intimate way. We come to know Him. Not just about Him, but we come to know Him. Our Savior and our Lord interacts with us all the time as we follow Him along that path of righteousness that He leads us. Our relationship with Him as such, as we follow Him, grows deeper and richer every day. And He guides us. He protects us even when things look so hard. He is there. And He provides for us in all of His blessings as we walk together with Him. And so we receive more and more grace as we walk along. The mushy middle and their stagnation, well, they know no such growth. And so I ask you today, my friends, which type of person are you? Growing or mushy? Because Jesus is coming, we must grow as His disciples. Knowing all this, it behooves us to stay in God's Word, diligently studying it until it becomes so imprinted upon our minds that we never forget it. And standing on the promises of God and empowered by His Spirit, we find ourselves grounded in the truth, stable, unshakable as we walk along that path of righteousness following our Lord, obedient to His command and at peace with Him, and considering the Lord's imminent return, a command that is particularly urgent as we wait for Him, is to proclaim the gospel in diligent obedience to the Lord. Our faithful actions are instruments that hastens His return. 2 Peter 3:12. Indeed, your faithful witness makes you a participant in the process of bringing the full complement of the elect into the body of Christ. The Lord blesses such faithfulness by His grace. He gives faith to those who believe according to the Word that you and your faithfulness proclaimed to them. What a great honor. I can think of no higher that the Lord would grace us to be an instrument to help bring people into His kingdom. What a wonderful thing that He has commanded us to do. So in your study and in your obedience, you glorify the Lord. And in your glorifying the Lord, you grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Christ. And so then He continues to be glorified. Now and until the day of eternity when He comes. And because the Lord is coming, we must faithfully follow Him as His disciples. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we think on these things, as we think of the grace that You freely gave us so that in faith we might be saved in our Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray that we would be enabled by You, empowered by Your Spirit, to be obedient regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves. Lord, we know that You are with us as we follow You along this path of righteousness. But we have to admit that it's not an easy path. For the world throws so many things at us, and trials and tribulations come. But Lord, we know that You are with us regardless. And we pray that You would give us the strength to stand firm, grounded, so even when false teachers would come to try to lead us astray, that we would see the danger, recognize it, call them out for what it is, and stay true to the Word that You have given us. And Lord, we thank You for the gift of Jesus Christ and Your Scriptures. It's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.